Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's Political Commentary.
With Rod Oram this morning. Kia ora, Rod. How are you today?
Kia ora, Rachel. Very well, thank you.
Let's get stuck straight into what's happening in the UK. Where is the pound at the moment? What's going on with their potential tax cuts? What's Liz Truss up to?
The pound is still struggling, and the Bank of England is still intervening to support the currency. I'll come back to that in a mo. What Truss is trying to achieve is saying that if we slash tax rates, that will increase economic activity and get the UK out of this very long-term slow growth slump. Now, to compound the issues, though, it was the way that she and her Chancellor Exchequer, Kwarteng, sprang this on markets and on the country. Although she'd been talking broadly about it, the announcement itself was done in a very unorthodox way. For example, no formal forecast from the Office of Budget Responsibility, which would normally accompany such a statement, which is an independent government entity which lives up to its name of giving impartial third-party advice. What's completely fascinating in the last 24 hours is that the Treasury Committee in the House of Commons launched an investigation into what's been going on. And there was just a parade of economists there who said that this made no economic sense, what they were doing. It would in no way achieve the 2.5% a year growth that the Trust says it will. There was, for example, a wonderful quote from Jagjit Chadha, who's head of the National Institute of Economic and Social Research, which is a very mainstream, very august body. What Truss and Kwarteng he says, quote, what can only be described as guerrilla tactics against our independent economic institutions over the summer. That's the Treasury, the Bank of England, and the Office of Budget Responsibility. Now, the trouble is still rolling on because the Bank of England yesterday delivered an extraordinary ultimatum. It said to the pension funds, which are the most vulnerable in this pound crisis and this market weakness, you've got to get your act together by Friday because we're going to stop intervening by Friday. And it's absolutely unprecedented for a central bank that's offering support like that to offer that kind of deadline to one of the affected parties. There's actually not a lot the pension funds can do. Mm-hmm. And so this now sets up the extraordinary situation that the markets will be gaming the Bank of England as to whether it's going to follow through on its promise of no more quantitative easing after Friday or not. So I think that it was a very strange thing for the Bank of England to do. And I think that's only going to increase the turmoil over the next week or so.
What's your take on the way the public's receiving this at the moment? There's been a lot of focus on the actions of Truss and her cabinet. But what actually is the British public receiving this information and this news as?
There's many layers to it, but I think there's some commonality. The obvious layer is that Truss wasn't there wasn't much confidence in her anyway, and her ability to launch policies, run the country. This stems from her time in cabinet, which was a very mixed performance in the relatively short time she'd been a cabinet minister, but also in the way she was campaigning for party leadership. So this has very significantly increased that negative, that lack of confidence. I think what's also going on is there is a growing awareness by more people about how damaging Brexit was to the economy and how there are essentially no solutions to that. And so I think that very stark reality is coming through, and that's compounded in itself by Truss being very belligerent towards the European Union. It's not at all clear yet whether she will honour the commitments that the the UK government, Johnson gave, her predecessor, gave to the EU over Northern Ireland, for example.
Mm.
And so, again, that's just compounding this turmoil. But the overall message is events of the past few weeks have seriously eroded her already weak standing on economic responsibility, but also efficacy, just being able to do stuff. And this is, you know, you'd expect this. I was about to say you'd expect this from a Labour government. That's not true, because we've had over the years in the UK, there's been a string of very competent chancellors, the Exchequer, and prime ministers. But it's doubly extraordinary that this is a Conservative leader has such a low ebb of confidence about economic management.
Well, let's turn to Iran now. A month now that there have been protests sparked by the death of a young woman in custody, and these have been really amazing woman-led protests. What are we seeing, the impact of this on the administration in Iran at the moment? Are we starting to see potentially any cracks forming, or what's going on at the moment?
An awful lot's happened since we last talked about this a couple of weeks ago, not the least of which it's spread to other sectors of society as well. So, for example, some employees in the state-owned oil company, which is massive, runs Iran's very substantial oil and gas business, have been out on strike. So what you're seeing is this has triggered a much wider response from across society about decades of repression. And I suppose we're talking now about at least 50 or 60 years of repression. So I think it's entered a completely different phase now. And yet the aged male leadership, religious leadership of Iran, doesn't get the message at all. Very, very hardline responses by security forces and the like, and indeed statements from the leaders. There has been one or two people a little bit further down the pecking order who've been trying to say something slightly ameliorative, but this is by no means, these don't look like by any means an olive branch or somebody who's been tasked with probing where some reconciliation might be achieved. So the basic message is there is no reconciliation on offer. This is a very deeply entrenched elderly regime in all senses of the word, just refusing to face these facts. And the fact that these this rebellion is spreading and has fallen into a really interesting pattern. There's a major national event of some kind every week, sometimes twice a week. But in between, there's a lot of much smaller scale local ones, and it's that breadth of local ones around the country which I think drive the message home that this is a fundamental. It's probably it's too early to call it an uprising, but this is now reaching far more widely across society than the initial trigger from women.
As you say, perhaps it's too early to call it an uprising, but there's certainly a sense of self-fueling now that's going on. There doesn't look like there's going to be an easy end in sight to this situation, particularly if you look at it from perhaps that administration's perspective. This is a problem now for them that they're not going to be able to control. So where does this people power go from here? What do you sort of anticipate being something we see perhaps in the next couple of weeks since we between our next chats?
We've seen extraordinary bravery by many people with complete disregard for their own lives or safety. And I think that's an extraordinary testament to how repressed people have very long felt. I mean, several generations of people who have never known anything different. They've been born into it. So this is looking like a huge shift, turning point, upheaval for Iran. And one can only expect it to get more violent, more bloody. The government security agencies are out of control, particularly in Kurdistan, where they are wreaking havoc of all kinds. Death, shootings into buildings, it goes on and on. And it's just very... it's hard to imagine that this is a leadership that would admit to doing something wrong, or the mood has changed, or seeking a different way forward. So it's looking like, sorry, it's a terrible cliche, but the immovable object, but the irresistible force.
Yes, absolutely. Well, it's a cliche for a reason. It is very much a truism. That might be all we've got time for this morning, Rod, but thank you so much for your kōrero today. We'll talk to you in a few weeks, and I'm sure there'll be plenty more to touch on then.
Indeed. Thanks, Rachel. See ya.
See ya.
You just heard a bit of political commentary
with Rod.